All right, True North Church, how we feeling out there? Come on, give me some energy this morning. Two services this Sunday, and you are the first. You are at the 9 a.m. I love it. Up early, ready to hear the word of God. I'm excited, guys. I've been fired up all week. And for those of you that know me, I'm a little extra fired up today. So get ready. If you're in the splash zone up here, you might want to get a towel. All right, the sweat might be flying a little bit. I apologize. But hey, I'm excited to continue in a series this morning that we're simply calling Peace in the New Year. And really what we've been doing over the last few weeks is we've just been talking about what it looks like to actually have peace in life. Doesn't that sound crazy to some of us, right? To actually have like true peace. In week one, we talked about what it looks like to have perfect peace and kind of what the foundation of that is. I encourage you, if you have not subscribe to our YouTube channel or subscribe to our podcast, do that. Go back, listen to the first two messages in this series. Last week, we talked about relationships and marriage. I believe that it could be transformative in your relationships and in your marriage. Now, the principles that we talked about from God's word last week. And so this week, we're diving into yet another area where many of us do not have peace. In fact, I read a statistic in prepping for this week. They did a study, a recent study in 2020 that said 90% of people do not have peace in this specific area of their lives. And that area is in our finances. That area has to do with money, right? And at the end of the day, here's the conviction I had this week. Oftentimes, in church especially, we don't like to talk about money. And I think rightfully so, because I think through the ages, churches have used their platform and people, individuals have used their platform to try to get rich off of people. And this mindset has kind of crept into the church in many ways. It says, the church is just out to get your money. And so what do? We swing the pendulum way over here and we just go, you know what? We're just not going to talk about it really ever. We just won't talk about it. That way, nobody will have to feel like we're pressuring them on their finances and what they're doing with their money. But here was the conviction I had this week. Money, our finances, how we use it is a major, major discipleship issue. And I'm actually excited to talk about it this week. You want to know why? Because I have personally experienced some amazing peace and freedom through God's word and biblical principles and having a biblical perspective on this. And I want that for you. What I know is I don't know every one of you. I don't know what your financial situation is. I don't know what the financial things are that you stress about. But I know this. There are things that you worry about. There are things that you stress about. And I want to help. I want to help you. I want to see you experience financial peace, financial freedom in your lives. It truly is an amazing thing. And so today, here's what I know. Some of us, at the very least, are simply going through life and we don't have a lot of purpose and we're not having a lot of kingdom impact with our finances, and it's keeping us, whether we realize it or not, from actually growing in our relationship with Jesus, with Christ. Some of us at the very least, at the worst, and this might be you today, you are in bondage right now because of the way that you have handled your finances or because of a mindset that has kept you constantly anxious and worried about whether you have enough or what to do with money that you have. And what I want to do today in this 40-minute talk that we have here is to hopefully encourage you and challenge you and help you get to a place where you have just complete freedom, complete peace, perfect peace as we talked about in week one in this area. And so I encourage you today, take some notes. If you brought something to take notes with, write some stuff down today. Encourage you to have your Bibles with you whenever you come to True North Church. We're gonna open the word of God. That's where all of our truth comes from. From this amazing book that is so much more than just words on a page. It is the very word of God. And it will transform your life today if you will allow it. So whether you have a lot, is what I want you to know today. Whether you have a lot, whether you have a little, whether you're stressed, whether you're in debt, whether you've maybe made money and stuff an idol and you don't even realize it. We're going to dig into all of that today, and I believe God's got something for you this morning. So I want to begin with a foundational truth. This is the first thing I want you to write down, because this is really the heart and the core of what this message is going to be about. Financial peace does not come from having more money, but from having the right perspective about money. Let me say that again. Financial peace does not come from having more money, but from having the right perspective about money. And so here's a fundamental truth we need to understand. There are people who have very, very little in this life, and they are very content and they have great peace. And there are people who have millions, billions even. They have so much, and they have no peace at all. It's not about how much we have. And the question is, why is that? How can some people have so little and have so much peace, and some people have so much and have no peace at all? It all comes down to perspective. You see, we can have two perspectives as we navigate through life. We can have a worldly perspective. We can see things the way the world sees them. And the worldly perspective is perpetuated and born out of Satan himself. He does not want us to thrive in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to thrive in any way in this life. And so he places these ideologies, these worldviews, if you will, in our minds, lies to us to get us to believe something that's false, to lead us down a path of destruction. There's one way to look at it. And then there's a biblical perspective, a godly perspective. And the people who have peace, I promise you this, the people who have peace in their finances, who have peace when it comes to money, when it comes to stuff, they hold a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview. It's the only way to have peace, and we must understand that as we start today. You will never have it. There will never be enough money in the world for you to have peace without a biblical perspective on your money, period. So I want to start by looking at, okay, what is that worldly perspective, right? What does the world say about this? Well, I want to start with a little clip here that I think illustrates this really well. Let's check this out.
I just can't get these numbers to add up.
It's like we're never gonna get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh. Then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
Yes. Good old Saturday Night Live, Steve Martin. bringing it to us like it really is, I think. And we laugh, and it's definitely funny, but why is it funny? It's funny because there's definitely some truth to that, right? There's a mindset, right, in our culture that if we have enough money and we have enough money to buy the things that we want, it will bring happiness and security, right? And so to the point where if I don't have money, I will borrow it to the nth degree so that I could buy the stuff that will make me happy and make me feel secure. And that's the first worldly perspective, right, that we need to understand, right? We think the worldly perspective says money will make me happy. It will make me secure. I can buy it. I can buy my happiness and security. And we all know this is a lie. I mean, think about this with me for a second. Think about the last time you got really excited to buy something. Whatever it might be. Maybe it was an Apple Watch. Maybe it was a car. Whatever it was, right? Do you still have that thing? Maybe you still do, right? But I'd be willing to bet that some of us here can think of a time when they bought something they were really excited about, and you don't even have it anymore. It's taking up space in a landfill somewhere. Is it even making you, is it making you happy anymore? Has it brought any sense of true happiness or security to your life? I think we all know the answer to that. No, right? We buy stuff thinking it's gonna make us happy, and then it's a very short time and it wears off very, very quickly. And then what? We gotta buy more stuff, right? Our stuff ends up in a garbage dump or collecting dust somewhere in our house, right? Filling up our attics. And so that's number one, right? Worldly perspective says money will make you happy and secure. But number two, it says the more you make, the more you should spend on yourself. That's what's gonna actually make you happy, right? That's what's gonna make you feel secure, right? So what do? We get more money and we buy a bigger house. We upgrade, right? We love to upgrade. We buy a bigger house. We buy a nicer car. We buy nicer TVs or more TVs. I think they're gonna just start making houses out of TVs. Forget drywall. Let's just make every wall in the house a TV. That way we can walk into every room and there'll always be televisions everywhere we go. Right? And they just keep getting bigger and bigger, right? When I was a kid, 32 inches was a massive TV. Now it's like 80 inches is the standard now, I feel like, when you walk into Costco or whatever store you're buying your TV from. Right? You just keep getting bigger and more. That's what you should do if you make more money, right? Because why wouldn't you? That's what's going to make you happy. Right, these are the lies that we feed into and that we believe, right? Consume, consume, consume. That's what we should do. And then third perspective, money and stuff defines you. The more you have, the better you're gonna look to the world. The more you have, that means you're more successful. Right? You are more of a success. This is the lie we're told. We are more of a success if we have more money. We have a greater opportunity and availability to buy things, to have power and control. We'll feel more safe and secure. Right? How much you have determines how successful you are. I want us to think about this, though, for a second. Let's just, again, this perspective is so important. I was thinking about this week. Every single billionaire who has ever lived died. They're all gone. They don't have their money anymore. And all of that success that they had with all of that money, if they define themselves by that money, guess what? They don't have it anymore. And so these are lies. All three of these things, right? Money will make you happy. The more you make, the more you should spend on yourself. And money and stuff defines you. All three of these have the same thing in common. They are lies that steal peace and enslave us in a perpetual cycle of never feeling content, never feeling satisfied with what we actually have. There's a quote by Jim Carrey, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit, but Jim Carrey talks about how he says, I wish everybody would get famous and rich so that they could see that it's not the answer. It's not the answer to your happiness. He's like, I've had it all. I've experienced the mountaintop, millions, fame, fortune, glory. My soul was still empty. My soul was still not satisfied. And I think all of us know this. Deep down inside, we understand this and we know this. And yet we continue, many of us, to live as though those things were truths. And so the only way to combat that today is to have the right perspective. And that's what I want to look at for the rest of our time. Right? If that's the worldly perspective, what's the biblical perspective? What does God say about how we are supposed to handle our finances and our money and our stuff and how we're supposed to look at that and view that? And here's what I believe. This is the truth today. If we are a follower of Jesus, we cannot miss this. If we say that we are a follower of Jesus, this is unbelievably important to Christ, as we're going to see in a second. This is so important to Jesus. Why? Because it's a discipleship issue. It's a heart issue. It is something that will destroy our relationship with God and with other people if we allow it to. And so number one, this is a verse from 1 Timothy 6:17-19. It's one of my favorites, and I think really it's at the core, it's at the foundation of how we should view our finances and our money. I encourage you to take note of this verse today and go home and read this and study this out for yourself later this week. It says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And so I want us to see some things here this morning. I want us to see the perspective that Paul is challenging Timothy and the early church to take on. Right now, first things first, we need to understand this about ourselves, particularly here in the United States of America, in this cultural context. It might not necessarily be true everywhere, but here, it's absolutely true. What does he begin this passage by saying? He says, command those who are rich. Now, some of us might be sitting here going, sweet, I'm off the hook. That's not me. I'm not rich, right? Rich is like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, like people who have millions and millions and billions of dollars. Those are the rich people. That's not me. But I want to challenge us to rethink that. And this perspective is hugely important for our peace when it comes to our finances. Are you rich or not? Here's the test. Are you ready? It's really simple. Do you have any disposable income at all? Do you have Netflix? If you do, you have disposable income. Do you ever eat out? Do you ever get Starbucks? Do you own more than one pair of pants? Do you own more than one shirt, one pair of shoes? If you do, hear me this morning. You are rich. Because there are people, I promise you, I have been to several nations in this world where they don't have one pair of pants, one pair of shoes, where they do not have meals every day guaranteed. We are rich. Rich. We have, if you took a vacation last year, you are very wealthy in comparison to much of the rest of the world. So we need to get that through our minds. We have been tremendously blessed, many of us in this country, beyond what many, many other people in the world have been, right? And so we got to start there, right? Lay that foundation, right? What perspective do we need to have? First of all, we're rich. We are very wealthy, right? Second of all, though, what does Paul say? He says, don't put your hope in money. What does he say? Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Why? Because he says it is so uncertain. That is so important today. We all know this, and yet we don't live like this. Wealth is uncertain. Money and stuff, it's uncertain. What does that mean? It can be taken away. We can lose it. We can lose jobs. We can have things happen to us where we don't have as much as we had before. And ultimately, as we've already discussed, one day we are going to die, and we're not taking that with us. All that we've accumulated, all that stuff, it's not going with us. Right? And so what does he say? Instead of doing that, here's the perspective we should have. Don't put your hope in money. Money is not your security. Money is not your safety blanket. God is your safety blanket. God is who we should put our security in and our hope in and our trust in and our faith in as the one who ultimately provides. And that is the next piece of this, right? God is the provider of all. We got to have that perspective. It is him who gives us everything that we have. He says, put your hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And I don't think we think this way, mostly because we're prideful human beings. Even if you have worked really hard and you've made a lot of money and you are very talented and you are somebody who has been able to produce in this life, can I ask you a question? Do you believe that that's your doing? Or do you believe that God gave you the work ethic, the talents, the abilities to actually do that? Because he did. Scripture tells us everything that we have comes from him. Time, talent, treasure, it's all his. He is the one who richly, and I love that, it says he richly provides. He does provide in a big way. He is such a generous God. He loves to give generously to his children, right? Even though it's all his, he has shared it with us. How amazing is that? He's the king of the universe, Lord of the universe, and yet he bestows on us tremendous blessing. All right, so he's the provider of all. I love Psalm 24:1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's all his. And so because of that, here's another perspective we have to have. He is the owner and we are the stewards. This is the perspective, the biblical worldview that we need to take about our finances and our stuff, right? He is the owner. We are just the managers of the stuff. What does he say? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. He's telling us as the managers how to use what he's given us. He's very direct, right? He doesn't say this is optional. What does he say? Command them. He says it twice. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in money. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. He's the owner. We're the stewards. We have a responsibility. And we need to have that perspective about our stuff and our money, right? And what does the owner command? What does he command us to do? It's right there in his word. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to be willing to share. And when we do that, this is what I love. Look at verse 19. It says, in this way, when we do that, in other words, we will lay up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. We're investing in the coming age. We're investing in something that's going to last for eternity instead of the things in this world that are not going to last. That is a perspective, whether you realize it or not, that brings tremendous peace. Just thinking about this week, I'm thinking about my own life as I'm preparing to preach this message, and I'm thinking about how we spend so much time saving and investing for a 20-year period of retirement. Maybe some people get 25 or 30 if you're really fortunate. But we spend all this time saving, investing, and for 20 years, and then what? And then it's gone, right? The return on the investment, it's just, it's not really that good, ultimately. I don't care what your percentage return was over your lifetime. It's all gonna be gone anyway. And so why are we stressing about it? Why are we worrying about it all the time? It's stealing our peace. And some of us don't even realize it. And if nothing else today, I want us to see that. That's the perspective that we are to have. Now, Jesus calls this out. Paul isn't the only one who talks about this. Did you know? Right, let's talk about just how important of an issue this is to God and to Christ. 2,300 times, no less than 2,300 times, finances and money and stuff are talked about in the Bible. How we handle it, what we do with it, the mindset we should have about it. 2,300 times. This is an important issue to God. And it's an important issue because it is one of the greatest things that will steal our peace, put our focus off of the Lord. God knows that. God knows if our minds are on other things, if we make idols out of other things, if we worship other things, and that's what money has the propensity to do, we will have no peace in this life. And so I want to read this verse from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. This is Jesus now doing some teaching, trying to train some people up, help them to see the right perspective. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out." Right? There's an exclamation point there. Watch out. Be on your guard. He says, against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in abundance of possessions. And so he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "Well, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll store my surplus grain in those. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." And so we have this man who comes to Jesus, and he knows Jesus has got some power. He knows Jesus has got some authority. And so what does he say to him? "Hey, tell my brother to give me my half of the inheritance now. I want it now." And of course, Jesus is like, "Listen, that's not why I came. I didn't come to help you get rich in this life. And oh, by the way, while I've got your ear," because there was always a crowd around, "while I've got your ear, folks, come here. Everybody listen. Bring it in close. I got a really important thing I need to share with you right now. Watch out," he says. "Be very careful. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. Greed will destroy you. Having more stuff is not gonna fulfill you. In fact, one day you're gonna get to the end of this life and everything you invested in this life, it's gonna go away, and the only thing that's going to matter is what you invested in the kingdom for eternity. That's it. And if you do that, if you allow yourself," this is why Jesus is so, I believe Jesus is fired up here. Right, when you see that exclamation point, man, Jesus is fired up. He's fired up because he's looking at this man and he's looking at the people around him and he's going, "Don't be a fool. Don't buy the lie. It's not going to give you happiness. It's not going to give you security. It's foolishness. You will have invested poorly and you will be very disappointed when you get to the end of this life. Beware," this is what he's saying, "beware a bigger barns mentality." Right, what did the man say he was going to do? "I'm going to go build myself bigger barns so I can hoard more and have more and eat and drink and be merry and just live it up for myself." It's foolishness. And then at the end of the day, Jesus is for us. Do we believe that today? Do we actually believe Jesus is for us? He is for you. He is for your joy. He is for your peace. And what Jesus knows that we just, it's so hard for us to get this through our minds. What he knows that we just skip right over half the time is that if we make anything else in this world a higher priority than him, more important than him, that's an idol, right? If we make anything in this life something that can give us what only God can give us, we will never have peace. Idols never satisfy. And money is one of the most tempting things to make an idol in our lives. And so here's my question to you. Do you have peace in your finances? Do you have peace? Like truly, really have peace? No matter how much you have, right? And if not, do you want it? Do you really want to finally have financial peace? Because if you do, as I said from the beginning of this message, there is only one way to have that. And it's not about having more money. It's about having the right perspective. And so if you do, if you're ready to actually take the biblical perspective and begin to put it into practice and to begin to live it out, I want to give you 3 steps today. And I want to encourage you to write these down. And I believe this with all my heart. If you will do this, and I believe it because I have done it. I've put this into practice in my own life, and it has been so freeing. If you will do that, this, you will begin to experience incredible freedom and incredible peace in your finances. All right, so step one, this is paramount. This is the most important thing. Put your hope in God, not your money. That's where it all starts. It has to start there. It has to start there. Until we do that, we'll never have peace. Right? As long as your hope is in something, what does Paul say to Timothy? In something so uncertain, you'll never have peace. You'll never have enough until God is at the center, until he's the one that you trust in for all of your needs. Right? Not only that, but I believe this. You'll ruin relationships. You'll make bad decisions. Until that is the center. Put your hope in God, not your money. Step two, we need to embrace this mindset. There has to be a heart change here. God owns it, I steward it. God owns it, I steward it. Let me say it one more time. God owns it, I steward it. None of it is mine, and that's the mindset that we have. None of it's mine, it's all his. He gives some of it to me to enjoy and to bless me. Absolutely, he does, because he's a good God. But he does not give all of it to us for our consumption, and that's the mindset that most of us have. God owns it, I steward it. And whether you realize this or not, let's just take money off the table for a second. This applies to everything that God gives: time, talent, and treasure. He's given it all to us. We're to steward our time and our talent for him as well. It's not just about our money, right? He has a plan. God has a plan for how we use everything that he has given us. And I was, man, this one hit me this week, and I hope it hits you. We will never have peace in this life when we are outside of the will of God. We won't. He has a plan and a purpose for how we use the resources that he has given us. If we're not using them the way that he has called us and commanded us to use them, we won't have peace. It only comes through that. We have to do that. We have to be aligned with his will, right? So we've got to see ourselves as managers, right? We're not the owner, we're the manager. We have to have that mentality. And I want you to think about this with me for a second. Think about when you own something versus when you're just the manager, just kind of in a regular context. Let's talk about your job. If you're the owner of the business, and I kind of feel this way sometimes, even leading a local church, I think about every little detail of this place. I mean, every little detail. I'm thinking about every dollar that is spent. I'm thinking about, are we going to have enough to make ends meet this month, this year, right? I'm thinking about those things. But if you're an employee, if you're just a manager of the company, what are you doing? You're just managing the dollars. The boss said, the company said, here's where I got to spend this money. Here's where I'm supposed to put that. Here's my budget. Here's what I spend over here. And you're not really stressing about at the end of the year, did the company make enough money? No, you're just managing what has been entrusted to you. There's way less stress. The owner has all the stress. The manager really doesn't have hardly any. And what I want you to hear today is this. If you continue to see yourself as the owner, you will continue to have great stress in your finances. But if you can begin to see yourself as the manager, as just the steward of what God has given you, it's his, it's all his anyway. Well, now I'm very freed up to just go, okay, I'm just going to spend it how God calls me to spend it and to use it. Right? Owner versus manager mentality. Right? And so here's the question. And this is step three. How do I steward it? What does God call us to do with it? How do we use it? How do we spend it? Well, first of all, I want to give you a principle. Again, God owns it. I steward it. First principle. This is the second one that we've got to live by. This is where we get really practical, kind of nuts and bolts of this. You ready? Give, save, live. Begin to live by that mantra. I'm going to give first, I'm going to save second, I'm going to live off the rest. This, I promise you, will lead you to much greater financial peace. Now, the first question you might be asking is, okay, why do I have to give at all? Why should I give? Why is that so important? And it's very, very, very simple. Because the God of the universe has poured out his grace on you, first and foremost. And his desire for us as the owner of everything in this world is for us to be a generous people. Because what generosity does in our hearts is it attacks the thing that leads to all sin, which is pride. It's all about me. Life is about me. Relationships are about me. Everything's about me. My money is about me. And so the only way to combat that is to actually begin to give it away, to stop seeing it as all mine and to start giving it away. As an act of worship to glorify God because of what he has given me, I'm going to give it away, recognizing that it's going to actually do something in my heart. It's going to change my heart. It's going to help me not cling so much to my wealth and to my money. This is really the only antidote. It's the only way to fight greed, which Jesus says, watch out for. This is it. This is the only way to fight it. We will continue to be greedy people until we start to actually give it away, whether we realize that or not, right? And then why give first? This is important, right? Why give first? Well, as I've said multiple times, very few things capture our heart like money. Very few things. It's the antidote to greed and what it does to a human heart. Listen to Proverbs 3:9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Give to him first. Why? Because it's telling us to honor him. Is it honoring to give someone leftovers? If you have a special guest coming to your house to eat at your home, somebody really just an honored, valued guest, are you serving them leftovers that are a week old? No, I don't think you are. I think you're making the best meal. You're going to your go-to, your number one best meal that you make to give to them. You want them to have the best. Right? This is what we do for God. We honor him with our wealth, with the first fruits of all our crops. That's why we give first. Right? And if we take this seriously, here's what I promise you. This isn't a health and wealth and prosperity gospel thing. This is just a simple biblical principle. If we are obedient to the Lord, he will provide for us. Doesn't mean he's going to make you rich. Doesn't mean he's going to bring it back 10 times, but he absolutely will provide. Look at Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He will provide. And I have seen this over and over and over again in my life. The more obedient we are to doing this, the more God takes care of us. And he will for you, I promise you. So number one, we give, right? The system is give, save, live, though. So save is the second one. This is one of the reasons that so many people do not have financial peace. Let's just call it what it is. We watched that video earlier, right? There's a lot of people who are in debt. There's a lot of people who have spent money that they don't have so that they could get things, right? Buy things. And they've found themselves now owing money, lots of money to someone else, right? There's a proverb that says the borrower is slave to the lender. And that's what you become. You become a slave to it. It becomes overwhelming. It becomes crushing. And some of you may be feeling that, experiencing that right now, right? Well, here's what I want you to hear. And this is going to be some tough truth for some people to hear, but I'm telling you this because I love you and I want to see you thrive. And I'm not telling you as someone who hasn't been there. I've been there. And God changed my perspective and changed my heart. Your debt problem is not a money problem. We need to hear that today. Our debt problems here are not money problems. It's a heart problem. And it's one of two things. It's either an indulgence problem or it is a work ethic problem. We need to hear that. It's either an indulgence problem. I spent more than I had. I charged it on the credit card because I wanted it and I had to have it now. I took out the loan because I had to have it now. It's an indulgence problem or it's a work ethic problem. Like, we have to be willing to work hard. I love Proverbs 10:4. This is straight from the word of God. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. We are called to work hard, to use and steward the gifts that God has given us. And he's given us everything that we need to provide for ourselves. Right, and so here's the very simple challenge I give you today. Save. Save instead of borrowing wherever you can. And if you do have to take out a loan, and the Bible doesn't say we can't take loans. That's not biblical, if anybody's ever told you that. But we are to pay that back as quickly as we possibly can. To do that as fast as we possibly can, right? And so you have to take on this mindset. Fight instant gratification. Don't trade long-term peace for short-term temporary peace, because that's what we do when we go and charge that thing on the credit card. I got to have it right now because I want that stuff's going to give me peace right now. But I'm telling you right now, the peace you're going to lose long-term, you don't want that. I don't want that for you. All right, so we're going to give, we're going to save, and then this is the amazing thing. We get to live and enjoy the rest. How good is that? There are some people in this room right now, and this makes me sad. You can't ever actually really enjoy anything that you buy for yourself, any money that you spend on yourself. You don't ever actually really get to enjoy it. Why? Because you're just constantly thinking about the fact that, well, I didn't really have the money to buy this thing right now, and so now I know I got extra credit card debt, and now I have no savings. I just completely depleted my savings. And so you don't ever get to enjoy that. Here's what give, save, live does for you. First of all, you're making a kingdom impact on whatever, and again, please hear me. This is not a message about you giving money to True North Church. This is about you becoming a generous person and wanting to build the kingdom. My challenge to you is give to things where people are actually going to be transformed by the gospel, whatever those ministries are. Certainly, do I think True North Church is a very, very good place to do that? And should you support your local church? Yeah, of course I believe that. But that's not what this is about, right? We want to make kingdom impact. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us, right? We do that first, then we save. We save for a rainy day. We have this mindset that it might not always be there. And so I do need to have some level of savings so that I'm not freaking out and stressed when the water heater breaks or I got a big repair on my car, the roof needs fixed or whatever it might be, right? That there's peace in that. If you've never been there, if you've never experienced that, I'm telling you, there's so much peace in that. So we give first, we save second, and then we live off the rest. Now that I've got savings, I want to go on that vacation. It's extra money. I've got savings. I'm giving. I get to truly enjoy that now in a way that you cannot enjoy it. I promise you this, that you cannot enjoy it until you do steps one and two. And so some of you might be asking, I'm going to give you a very basic standard here to try to shoot for. And for some of you, this can be like, woo, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can ever get there. I want to challenge you to prayerfully take this to the Lord and consider trying to do this. Live by the 10-10-80 principle. We give 10, we save 10, we live off the 80%. And when you really start to think about that, right, if it's all God's, we get 80% of it. 80% of it I get to keep and use and spend and enjoy. 10% is for savings, which is actually also still for me, so that when there is that rainy day, I still have that and I'm not freaking out. 10% is just to build the kingdom, to see the advancement of the gospel in the world, in whatever ministries, nonprofits, whatever you want to support that you're passionate about. That's my challenge to you. And if you will do that, you will begin to experience incredible financial peace. And until you do that, I promise you this, you won't. You will not begin to experience the fullness of the peace that God wants for you until you do that. Begin to give. And if you're not at, listen, we say this around here a lot. If you're not at 10% right now of giving away, if you're not at 10% of saving right now, just start somewhere. Start at 1, start at 2, start at 5%, whatever it is, and build. Build and get to that place so that you can begin to experience it. Because I know what some of you are thinking right now. This is overwhelming. I don't know if I can do that right now. Start somewhere. Take a baby step. Do something, right? And so I'll close with this morning. Financial peace does not come from having more money, but from having the right perspective about money. That's the key this morning. We will never have peace until we do that, have that perspective. And if you're a Christian in the room today, I want to say this. Man, Jesus has given us so much. If you've put your faith and trust in Christ, I don't have to put my faith and trust in money anymore. I know that my eternity is secure. I know that he's going to provide for me in every way. What an amazing peace that is. That's where it all starts. Right, financial peace. I've heard Dave Ramsey, who's a financial guru, say this at the end of his radio show all the time. Financial peace comes when we start following the Prince of Peace. That's some truth for you right there. And if you don't know Christ, here's our prayer for you this morning. You want peace in all areas of your life? It starts with him. That's security. That's true security. Knowing Jesus, knowing that all of our sins are forgiven, everything that we've ever done, that we don't have to work or perform to be in God's good graces, to look good to him. Oh, man. That's freedom. We want that for you. That's our mission here at True North Church. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you, come and talk to one of us. Talk to myself, talk to Pastor Greg, Phil, our discipleship director. We'd love to have a conversation with you about what it looks like to start a relationship with Christ. Let's pray, Father.